You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 484.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Kevin, hi. I'm excited for this episode.
It is very exciting. We're celebrating the 1980s for 10 consecutive Flopcast episodes. Before we get into our 1980s celebrations, Cornflake, get us started, please, with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
Kevin, I don't see myself riding one of these anytime soon, but I figured it couldn't hurt to celebrate National Roller Coaster Day.
Well, sure, we can celebrate Roller Coaster Day. Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time I was on a roller coaster. It's been many, many, many years.
When we were all kids back where I was from, we'd go to Canobie Lake Park in Salem, New Hampshire, and the first roller coaster I ever rode on, it was in junior high, and I think it was with my physics class. The kids who took physics got to go to Canobie Lake Park for the day because we were the smart kids. We also had to do math about the rides, but
the smart kids got to go to an amusement park.
Yes, to calculate angles and velocities on the rides.
So your class was divided. The school was divided. The smart kids and the dumb kids. They loaded the smart kids onto a bus.
Well, the smart kids and me, I snuck in.
There were children. Their faces were pressed up against the windows. They were all wearing dunce caps and openly weeping, right?
That's how I remember it.
Sure.
And we all went to Canobie Lake Park. And yeah,
the nerd bus pulls up at the amusement park.
Yeah. Everybody holding on to their mimeographed worksheets, getting ready to do some calculations.
Everybody's got their protractors out.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't bring a protractor to an amusement park?
So you hop on the roller coaster holding a mechanical pencil, right? That's safe. Now, are you someone who to this day enjoys a roller coaster?
Oh, no. I mean, I can barely go down a windy road without getting motion sick now. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'm done. I don't have a particular problem with roller coasters, but I don't seek them out. I don't want to go to an amusement park. I guess I could end the sentence right there.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be in crowds and lines to get on the stupid thing. It doesn't do that much for me anymore. I just don't care. You know, the first episode of Get a Life, Chris Elliott's bizarre sitcom from the early 90s, episode one, he goes on a roller coaster, him and his stupid friend, and it has the complete loop where you go upside down and it stopped. They got stuck hanging completely upside down. And that was the plot of the whole episode, was they're just hanging up there.
That sounds like a terrible time. That's what I was always afraid would happen to me.
Well, it happened to Chris Elliott, and that was a very realistic show. So I'm guessing that's a real danger, and there's probably thousands of people just hanging
upside down like bats in a cave.
Hanging upside down right now as we speak.
I mean, we're out when it comes to the roller coasters, but for some, it's a lifestyle, so happy National Roller Coaster Day to the coasterheads.
Happy Roller Coaster Day, anyway, to those who choose to participate. Cornflake and I do not.
We're so much fun.
We are more concerned with the 80s and the year 1984, because it's episode 484, so that's the concept.
Right.
1984. And real quick, because we have much more important business for today's Flopcast than 1984. So I've got a couple of things for you, Cornflake. I looked at the top 10 movies from this week in 1984. Let's go backwards. Let's start at the top and work our way down to number 10. Number one movie, kind of a surprise because I barely remember that this even happened, but Tightrope was a Clint Eastwood movie, like a thriller thing with a policeman and a killer on the loose or something.
Oh.
I totally forgot that even happened. I never saw it. Number two, Red Dawn, a Cold War classic. This is the Brat Pack versus the Soviet Union. That was actually the first PG-13 rated movie.
Oh.
It was Red Dawn.
Interesting fact.
Number three, Ghostbusters.
Classic.
This was the summer of Ghostbusters, of course, 84. Number four is Purple Rain, you know, Prince's movie, of course. Number five, Revenge of the Nerds. Oh, no. A lot to love about this movie and a lot to really despise about this movie. Very, very problematic in retrospect, but there it is. Number six, here you go, back on track with The Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah. We do love ourselves some Karate Kid.
This is the original, of course. Number seven is The Woman in Red. That was Gene Wilder, and it's like a goofy romantic comedy. Gene Wilder and Gilda Radner, and what's her name? Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. She is the actual woman in red the movie is named after, as I recall. Number eight is Sheena, as in Sheena, Queen of the Jungle.
Oh, that's Sheena.
Yeah, as opposed to?
Sheena Easton?
Well, sure. The Sheena we care about from the 80s is Sheena Easton, but there was also Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. What a decade for Sheenas. Sheena, Queen of the Jungle was an old comic book character from like the 30s and 40s, but then they made this goofy movie about Sheena. It starred Tanya Roberts, who was from Beastmaster and Charlie's Angels and a bunch of stuff back then. Pretty goofy movie. Number nine is Dreamscape. That was Dennis Quaid. I saw this once, I believe. It's Dennis Quaid. He has psychic powers and they go inside people's dreams, that kind of thing. Weird little movie. And rounding out the top 10, Cornflake, at number 10 was Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. Got to keep those guys away from the water.
You know those guys. Creeping around with Phoebe Cates. What fun we had with Gremlins. There's your top 10 movies. Let's take a quick look also at music, because I pulled up the top 40 list from this week in 1984. But just to mix it up, I thought instead of the top 10, let's look at the bottom 10.
So from 31 to 40 then.
Yes, let's count down 31 to 40. At number 31 is Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take It. Classic hair metal. Remember the first time you saw that guy?
Yes.
The video for this thing? What a terrifying sight that was when America was introduced to Dee Snider.
Long before I saw him, I saw the pencils that the kids had in school. Did you ever see the Twisted Sister pencils?
No. They had their own line of pencils out?
They did. They were neon pink with black writing that said Twisted Sister on them. All the cool kids had them.
I had no idea that early in the career of Twisted Sister, they'd branched into office supplies.
School supplies.
Very enterprising, that Dee Snider.
Yes.
Number 32 is Chicago, Hard Habit to Break.
Yes.
Classic Chicago soft rock. Number 33 is Eurythmics with Right By Your Side. This did not go much higher, I think.
No.
One of their lesser hits, certainly. And it's kind of goofy, kind of silly sounding. It has kind of a tropical, like steel drum kind of sound going in it. Weird little song from Eurythmics. Number 34 is Breakin', There's No Stopping Us. From the act is called Ollie and Jerry, which I could not have told you, but I remember the song. This was from the movie Breakin', you know, the breakdancing movie.
Oh.
And I definitely know the song, Breakin', There's No Stopping Us. We should do a little breakdancing right now.
I'm all for it. I can at least spin around in my rolly chair.
Yeah, I can't see you right now, so I'm going to assume you're spinning on your head right now. Number 35 is Torture by the Jacksons. 36 is 17 by Rick James. And This is one that could have easily made our creepy list back when we were listing creepy songs. Because, man, and again, this was not a huge hit. So I think most people have forgotten this one. But
rightly so.
It's the name of the song is 17. And yeah, that's what it's all about. It's the lyrics are like, she was only 17. But she was sexy.
Lovely.
This might have been a Rick James Stray Cats collaboration, perhaps. Let's move on. Number 37 is My Oh My by Slade. I remember this one. I like this song. Not well known in America. I think Slade was big. They were like a big kind of glam rock band in Europe that never really broke in America. Had a couple of minor hits. And then Quiet Riot. When they did Come On, Feel the Noise and Mental Health, those were covers of Slade songs.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Number 38 is Two Sides of Love by Sammy Hagar.
as a solo artist.
This is pre-Van Halen, Sammy Hagar. Yes, yeah, he had a handful of hits on his own back then, and this was a very minor hit. I think this peaked at number 38. It's a fun little song. They're just kind of a catchy rock song.
You know? I have no recollection of Sammy Hagar prior to Van Halen.
Well, yeah, he had some bigger hits like I Can't Drive 55 and Your Love is Driving Me Crazy. He had stuff like that. You know, he was making fun rock songs back then. He was relatively well known when he got the job to replace Diamond Dave, you know. So here's Sammy on his own at number 38. Number 39 is Laura Branigan, the lucky one.
Oh, nice.
Weren't we just talking about Laura Branigan like last week?
We were talking about how much we love her because, man, that singing voice on her.
We love Laura Branigan. This was not one of her better known songs, but it was pretty popular and sounds cool. It's almost a Jim Steinman-esque, very dramatic song. Good stuff. And at the bottom of the top 40 this week, although it got pretty high on the charts, this was a hit. This was Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac going solo with Go Insane.
Oh my goodness.
That's a cool song.
Yeah, not one I think about very often, but yeah.
When I think of Lindsey Buckingham solo, I think of Go Insane and then Holiday Road from Vacation.
Holiday Road's the one I think of, yeah.
Yeah, and that's about it. I think I can name two Lindsey Buckingham songs, and I just did. But he's good, obviously. I just listened to him on Marc Maron's podcast. He just did a big, long interview with Marc Maron, which was really good, really interesting. But there's Lindsey at the bottom of the top 40. But there you go, Cornflake. That was numbers 31 through 40.
That's an interesting way to look at 1984.
We've never looked at this end of the top 40 before, but that's what it's come to.
That's cool. That's how you get the deep cuts.
Yes, yes. All right, that's enough 1984 talk. We love 1984. We recommend it. If you're going to travel back in time, why not visit 1984?
You'd have Laura Branigan, at least, if you did.
Yeah, go to 84, look up Laura. Good plan. Meanwhile, Cornflake, we're done with 84 talk for this week, but we're going to keep focusing on the 80s in general, but in a whole weird new way, because how about, Cornflake, a top 4.5 list?
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1. What point time? The top 4.5 list.
This is the top 4.5 list I look forward to all year.
Yeah, this is not just any old top 4.5 list. This is tradition.
This is what makes summer great.
Longtime Flopcast listeners know that every summer, literally every summer in the history of the Flopcast, we do a robot-themed top 4.5 list.
We've managed to phase two things together that we absolutely love in this year's robot list.
Yeah, there was really only one way to go for this year's robot list. But Cornflake, we must point out right now, this is the 10th annual Flopcast Top 4.5 Summer Robot List.
Wow.
We've been doing this for 10 years.
10 robot lists. It feels like just yesterday we were doing our first robot list.
Well, to refresh everybody's memories, I've got all the information right here. Let's run through all of our previous robot lists.
Okay.
Going back to Flopcast episode 8, we were only 8 shows in when we started doing this. Episode 8, July 2012, we did a top 4.5 list of cartoon robots.
Good list.
That's how it all started. Evidently, we enjoyed it because a year later, in 2013, that summer, we did live-action robots from movies and TV shows.
I remember that one.
2014, robot songs.
Oh, right.
You know, really mixing it up that year. 2015.
Wait, was that the year that I alleged that Enya is a robot?
Probably. That sounds about right. 2015, I believe this was a listener suggestion, we did Evil Robots.
All right.
Now, 2016, we just kind of gave up. We did a robot list, but there was no specific subject. This was a whatever robot list. Anything goes as long as it's a robot that year. 2017, now we're back on track, robot animals.
Right.
That was fun. There's a lot of them. 2018, giant robots.
I loved that one.
A lot of giant robots out there as well. The following year, summer of 2019, we went the other way. Tiny robots. Now, last year, for the lockdown, we did a Trapped in the House edition of Robots. It was all robots where the concept is, here's a weird robot and you're going to be trapped in the house with this robot.
Right.
That was exciting. And Cornflake, that brings us to this year. I believe this was your idea in honor of our 80s shows. You said, let's just do 80s robots.
And we also agreed that the robots would be hopefully robots that we've not talked too much about on the show already. Because we've certainly discussed our fair share of 80s robots.
Well, yeah, in the last 10 years of listing robots, a lot of them have been from the 80s. So we're going to try not to go into reruns. I think I succeeded.
I think I did too.
Okay, so these are, as far as we can tell, as far as we can remember, these are robots who are fresh to the top 4.5 summer robot list. So that's good.
Deep cuts from the top 40, deep cuts for robots.
Yes. Let's do this, Cornflake. 80s robots, you ready to go?
I am.
Well then, what do you have for number 4?
Well, I'm going to kick things off with a cartoon robot from the 80s, specifically from a TV show that I absolutely loved, DuckTales. So on the cartoon DuckTales, you know, with Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and Scrooge McDuck, there was a robot on one of the 1987 episodes named Armstrong. Did you watch DuckTales at all? Probably not.
Never saw it.
Well, I was a huge fan of both the cartoon and the kids' books that were coming out at the time. And there was an inventor named Gyro. And Gyro made a robot called Armstrong, who could pretty much do anything. He saves Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Uncle Scrooge from an avalanche while they're on a train ride. He gets the train free after the avalanche hits. And then he pretty much displaces the butler at home because he can do all the chores. But in a surprise twist, Kevin, Armstrong turns evil and kidnaps Scrooge McDuck. But they all remember that he's mechanical and they defeat him with water. So there you have it. I think they did fix him up and he comes back in other episodes after that. But you got a good robot gone bad, just dunk him. That's what they did. And that's what happened to Armstrong, who is my number 4 choice on this year's robot list.
I had no idea. Well, I enjoy cartoon ducks and I enjoy robots. So that's a fine start to the list. Okay, number 4 for me. I was looking for just goofy looking 80s robots. And I think I found a bunch. So number 4, and you should be looking at an image now because I'm shooting photographic reference to you as we speak. And this is a show that we've talked about, I know, once or twice. But I'm going with the robot from the Saturday morning live-action series, Benji, Zax, and the Alien Prince.
I loved Benji.
Sure, this is that classic dog, Benji, that had all kinds of movies and TV shows back then. But maybe the weirdest thing they did with Benji was Benji, Zax, and the Alien Prince. And it was a Saturday morning show with Benji and then this little kid. He's an alien. He was an alien prince who lands on Earth with a robot. Zax is his robot who's protecting him. And then he's being chased by like alien bounty hunters. This man and this woman from space are trying to catch the alien prince. They look like Ursa and General Zod from Superman 2.
That's terrifying. Kind of.
They're chasing after the kid, and him and the robot crash land on Earth and meet up with Benji. And now the three of them are on the run together.
I always knew that Benji had a place in his heart for robots and for alien children.
It's just so crazy that they came up with this. We're going to take the dog. It's a dog and an alien and a robot.
And you're right. That is one goofy looking robot.
It's like a floating, hovering, giant hamburger with eyeballs.
Yeah. Looks like they swiped him fresh from a McDonald's commercial.
Yeah. If Mayor McCheese had a robot, you can watch some of this stuff. There are episodes of Benji, Zax, and the Alien Prince are floating around online. It's as goofy as it sounds. I highly recommend it. So that's number 4.
I love it.
And they're just going to get sillier. Cornflake, let's go to number 3.
That is perfect. I'm going the PSA route for number 3, Kevin. Ooh. And not the PSAs that we knew as kids, but this is from a PSA up in Canada. And this is my one robot on my list that comes from 1984. There was a robot in safety PSAs for preschoolers named Astar, A-S-T-A-R, Astar, the robot. The PSA itself, aside from being a little more on the high-tech side, was kind of Robilar-esque, actually.
Uh-huh.
So you get this robot named Astar, and he is doing just these flips and acrobatics through what is supposed to be an industrial wasteland. And so he's, you know, flipping and cartwheeling through gears and lots of metal, and it's clearly dangerous. Somewhere along the way, his arm gets lopped right off. And he stops, and he fuses it back on, and he explains to the children in his robotic voice that he can put his arm back on, but they cannot.
Right.
So he's reminding kids not to get their arms lopped off. Preschoolers. And this is sponsored by the Play Safe program. Astar the robot.
Was this a big problem in the 80s? I'm trying to remember. Were lots of kids...
Evidently in Canada, kids were getting their arms lopped off left and right.
Yeah, in Canada, yes. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, you can tell that, like, the age range, the small children of the 80s, there's so many people in their 40s in Canada today you see walking around with just the one arm.
Right.
Because it was a major problem in the Great White North back then.
Nothing that couldn't be resolved by Astar. Now, in the discovery of Astar, Kevin, I realized that we have been missing out. There are PSAs from the 80s from Canada that we never get to see that are absolute gold. Oh. And now I am on a mission to find them all. Thanks to Astar.
Yeah, good find. Okay. Yeah, we should do a deep dive on Canadian
PSAs. Yes, yes, yes.
Of the 1980s. Yes. Let's definitely do that sometime soon. That's fantastic. All right. Hang on to your arms, kids. Don't be like a robot. All right. Number three, I've got kind of a combo. I got two robots for the price of one, Cornflake, because I was looking into some silly robots from commercials of the 80s, and to give proper credit, I came upon this on, there's a website called Dinosaur Dracula, which I follow their blog because they dive into all kinds of silly, fun, retro stuff all the time over there. Dinosaur Dracula, check that out. But there was a blog post over there about robots, including a couple from commercials of the 80s, and I believe I remember these, and they're just so silly. But there's Honeycomb Cereal.
Oh, yeah.
Made so many fun commercials, and I believe more than one commercial for Honeycomb had this robot. The one that I watched, they're in their little clubhouse, the Honeycomb kids, with a robot. Just a
he's cute. He's a cute robot.
Oh yeah, just one of those silly looking 80s robots in the clubhouse with the kids, and then a wrestler crashes into the clubhouse to try to get their cereal.
Does the robot subdue the wrestler?
Yes, the robot rips the wrestler's arms off as if he were a Canadian child, and then the children go on enjoying their breakfast cereal as if nothing had even happened.
Well, wrestlers are part of a complete breakfast.
Absolutely. Toast, juice, milk, wrestler, and you're good to go. So there's Honeycomb with a fun robot, and then also, similarly, there was a Toys R Us commercial in which this guy is like playing with a little toy robot, and then the toy robot suddenly transforms into a giant full-sized robot, and they're singing that classic I Don't Want to Grow Up, you know, Toys R Us song.
So Jeffrey was upstaged by a robot.
Yeah, the giraffe is there also. The robot and the giraffe are about the same size. That's a big, tall robot.
I was always disappointed when I went to Toys R Us and I bought toys, and when I sang to them, they didn't automatically increase in size like they did in the commercials.
Yeah. Where's my singing, dancing giraffe? And more importantly, where's my giant singing, dancing robot? And I feel like this is just a small sampling of like silly robots from commercials back then, but there's a couple for you. We'll have links to these commercials so you can see them. But if anyone can find similar robots in commercials from back then, please let us know, because I like these robots a lot.
80s commercials were just lousy with robots.
That's how I remember them, at least. Cornflake, what's going on for number two?
This is a bit of a cheat, Kevin, I will admit. But I couldn't bring myself to leave this robot off the list. Technically, he is from 2011, but his name is 80s Robot.
Oh, yeah.
80s Robot was from the Muppet movie that came out that year. We first see him living in Kermit's mansion, kind of working as like a butler or a manservant. Then, of course, Kermit embarks on the adventure of bringing the band back together. And 80s Robot is a chauffeur that can drive. He also winds up being the GPS, but he's on a modem. And he makes a lot of references to things that are no longer current, like Tab. He's very much a product of the 80s, and he's one of my favorite parts of the movie.
I fully support this entry on the list, Cornflake.
Oh, I mean, so glad. I thought I was going to have to like defend it to the teeth. But
I thought I was going to kick you right off the podcast. This is unacceptable.
I thought my arms were going to get lopped off. Yeah, I love 80s Robot.
I mean, what could be more in the spirit of an 80s Robot list than
80s Robot.
80s Robot from the Muppets. And yeah, you look at this thing and it looks exactly like all the robots that I've been talking about. Just those classic, silly looking robots from back then.
So I've got 80s Robot at number two. What about you?
All right, number two, just to mix it up, here's a different kind of robot than the kind we've been talking about. But again, there's a long, proud tradition of this kind of goofy robot also. Number two, I'm going with from a show that I barely remember, but I want to watch more of it because it's been too long. There's a show in the late 80s called Hard Time on Planet Earth. It was not around for long, like half a season maybe. And the concept was, this was a guy, he was like a war criminal from space. I think so. He was some kind of a warrior in space battles or something. And then he was captured. And as his punishment, he was sent to Earth. And he was just stuck on Earth in a human body until he had repented, I guess, and then would be allowed to rejoin outer space.
He wasn't trying to, say, capture an alien prince, was he?
This might have been the guy they sent to capture Benji, Zax, and the alien prince. Yeah, I never put all this together. You're right. Oh, no, this is bigger than all of us.
It is.
I think this guy was in charge of Roller Coaster Day also. This is all coming together. But he's on Earth, and he has a robot assistant with him. And it's this little yellow, hovering, sarcastic, goofy little robot thing. You know, also from space. But it looks very similar to, there were a lot of things like this kicking around back then. Because like going back to the 70s, and you know, I love A Cosmic Christmas, that cartoon. And those aliens in Cosmic Christmas had a little hovering yellow, like robot assistant thing, just like this. And then also in the 80s, a few years earlier, there's Booster Gold. You know, DC Comics started the Booster Gold comic in which he was a guy from the future and he had a little hovering yellow robot assistant named Skeets. So this is pretty much the exact same thing. I don't know if they were directly lifting this from Skeets from DC Comics or not. Maybe it was just a coincidence. But anyway, this robot, its name is Control, and it was here to assist the alien stuck on Earth. That alien, if he looks familiar, Cornflake, that's Martin Cove, as in Kreese from the Cobra Kai Dojo.
Wow. Yeah, that gentleman did look familiar.
This is Kreese. This is Karate Kid Part 3 era Martin Cove. Yeah, this is it's a fun series. I ended up watching a little bit of it earlier. Like in preparing my robot list, I just stopped and started watching some Hard Time on Planet Earth. The best episode, I assume, he takes a job as a hot dog vendor at a pro wrestling venue.
That is nice.
And then, of course, he ends up getting in the ring, getting involved. And the wrestling people realize, because he has like super alien strength, and they're like, great, you should be a wrestler. So they try to turn him into a pro wrestler. And then even better, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling was a thing at this time. You know, GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which they made into a TV series just a couple of years ago. But original GLOW was happening back then, and the actual Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling guest star in this episode.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like he ends up in the ring with all the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
I guess they didn't know the show wasn't going to last.
They were the biggest thing that happened in the short run of Hard Time on Planet Earth. Yeah. So, you know, it's Kreese from The Karate Kid, a robot, and it's the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
That's magic right there.
Yeah, that's how I spent my afternoon. Anyway, Cornflake, number one, back to you.
I'm excited about this one. This is a robot that came up recently when I was talking with the folks at the ESO Network. We were talking about Wallace and Gromit, and of course there's the short film A Grand Day Out, and I always think about Wallace and Gromit running out of cheese and blasting off to the moon and building the spaceship and finding cheese on the moon. But I forget that there's a robot up there. There's a menacing robot up on the moon. It is the protector of the moon.
The robot on the moon. I remember that.
The robot on the moon. All he wants to do is ski. Like, he wants to go back yes. to Earth and ski. He ends up getting to make his dream come true on the peaks of the moon, and he's skiing around. What I didn't realize is that he has a name. I just thought of him as a coin-operated robot that is in Wallace and Gromit, but his name is Cooker because he's a gas cooker on wheels. And once he does make an appearance, he kind of steals the show. He's trouble, but he's adorable.
That's excellent. Good pick.
Would you eat cheese from the moon, Kevin?
I don't think I would.
Me neither.
Number one on my list. I just sent you a picture of a very silly looking robot.
I'll say.
Named Fubar.
Oh, look at the arms on this guy.
In this case, Fubar stands for Futuristic Uranium Bioatomic Robot.
Oh, that's not normally what Fubar stands for, is it?
No, it's not. But they went a different way. This was a robot that was like out there. It made multiple appearances on various TV shows and talk shows and stuff. And it made public appearances like at malls. You could go to a mall and meet this robot. It did all kinds of events and stuff for many years. It looks completely ridiculous. It's got like the big wide body and wheels and then like the little tiny head at the top with like a Groucho kind of a face on it.
I love the nose on this robot. This is my favorite robot nose that I have ever seen.
Well, yeah, it's got like the Groucho glasses kind of a nose and then the huge arms coming out. It just looks so stupid and weird. The reason we had to put this one on the list is Fubar, the robot, made multiple appearances on Silver Spoons.
Oh.
Which made sense because, you know, the Stratton family on Silver Spoons were in the toy business, you know, Eddie Toys, and they were rich. So, of course, it made sense that there'd be a robot hanging around sometimes. I believe the episode that Menudo was on. Remember, there was an episode where Menudo comes and performs.
Oh, yeah.
At the Stratton house. And I believe the robot is also in that episode.
Oh, my goodness.
As well as some other episodes. But yeah, if you can track down that, there's one Magic Silver Spoons episode where you get Menudo and you get a robot. And that's all you need.
I cannot get over the arms coming out of this robot's abdomen.
It looks so freaky and weird. Yes, but this robot was out there. It was around back in the 80s. It might still be out there somewhere. And it looks like it could just strangle you if it wanted to. So stay on the good side of Fubar, the robot. Now, Cornflake, back to you. Top of your list. Number one half.
There are so many great 80s robots, Kevin. It was really hard to pick which should be number half. But I had to pick a robot that has the same name as you. At number half, I have an 80s robot named Kevin.
I think I know what this is.
Now, the TV show was cringeworthy. We're talking just, again, once more, getting right under the wire with this robot making its first appearance in 1989. Saved by the Bell. Okay, has a robot named Kevin. And Kevin belongs to Screech. The first time we see this robot is in an episode called Beauty and the Screech. The plot line is that Kelly has won some tickets to go see George Michael and needs to make sure that her grades are up and Screech is going to help. And Screech has this robot named Kevin that he built. And I gotta say, like I said, show's a little bit cringeworthy, but this is a cool looking robot. Have you seen what this robot looks like?
Well, I just Googled. I'm looking at Kevin the robot from Saved by the Bell right now. Yes, that's a classic, just super goofy 80s style robot.
Yeah, he's got something like a computer monitor for a head, and he's got a smile and big, bright red eyes.
The smile, it's like his head is a light, bright screen.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Screech just plugged in some pegs to make a light-up smile on him. That's good.
But can you believe it? A robot named Kevin.
I like it. You did it. And at the top of my robot list, number one half, Cornflake, I'm going to Rocky IV.
Rocky IV had a robot?
This was certainly the most 80s of the Rocky movies, even more so than Rocky III, which had Mr. T in it. But Rocky IV, this is Rocky goes to the Soviet Union, and they play Burning Heart, you know, by Survivor. But also happening in Rocky IV, back on the home front, Pauly, you know, Burt Young, who's that kind of sleazy, creepy-looking dude that was always hanging around with Rocky, it's his birthday party, and Rocky surprises Pauly with a robot. He's like, "Happy birthday, Pauly, I got you a robot."
Wow.
And this is a big, tall, full-sized robot that just starts talking. "Hello, Pauly, I'm here to assist you." And Pauly is just kind of freaked out, doesn't know what to make of the robot. And he's like, "What's this, walking trash can or something?"
Way to show your appreciation for a cool robot. Although, this robot, it has like the bug eyes. It's a little freaky.
Yeah, the eyes are a little weird, little sleestackish perhaps.
Yeah.
But still, very silly looking robot, which, yeah, Pauly did not warm up to right away. However, there's a later scene where they're all back at the house and now they're hanging out with Apollo Creed is there. And suddenly the robot comes wandering in the room. Apollo is completely freaked out. He's like, "What's that?" The robot starts talking and now it has a woman's voice.
Ooh.
It comes sidling up to Pauly and now suddenly...
Oh my.
Suddenly Pauly's very fond of the robot and Rocky freaks out. He's like, "How did you get the robot to talk like that? What did you do to the robot's voice?" And Pauly's like, "This is my girl."
Oh, wow. So,
if you thought Rick James was being creepy with his song 17, Rocky IV gets a little weird with suddenly Pauly seems to have just turned his robot gift into his wife, essentially, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I call a robot pulling double duty.
So the top of my list has to be Pauly's girl robot from Rocky IV.
Wow.
There's your ultimate ridiculous 80s robot.
I'll say. Fantastic finish there, Kevin.
So I think we did it. We came up with a 4.5 list on both sides of 80s robots that I don't think we ever covered in a previous robot list. Most of them we've never spoken of at all.
Yeah.
On the Flopcast. So, man, I guess there's such an infinite supply of robots out there. And I also have to say, I don't know about you, but this was not a hard list to put together.
I struggled a little bit. I mean, I don't think I would have turned to Canadian PSAs otherwise.
You've hit rock bottom. No matter what kind of project you're working on, if at some point you'd have to turn to Canadian PSAs. Yeah, that's true. You've gone pretty deep at that point. I feel like there are so many ridiculous 80s robots. I mean, we mentioned Revenge of the Nerds earlier.
Right.
There's one of these robots in Revenge of the Nerds also. Like, the nerds build a robot that's hanging around at their frat house.
I'm sure there are robots I failed to think of, and I'm going to be kicking myself when one of our listeners says, "Well, what about this one or what about that one from the 80s? And I'm like, right.
And by the way, please do, everybody, send us your 80s robots, because I know there's a lot more out there, and a lot of them we probably just completely forgot about. I would love to get more 80s robots.
Yeah, we are here to enjoy them all.
We can do a little follow-up, perhaps. But for now, Cornflake, that was your 10th annual Flopcast Top 4.5 list of robots for the summer. It's a summer tradition around here.
Thank you for making it super special, Kevin. I loved the robots.
It's all we have. One quick note before we wrap up, and that is I was on Earth Station 1 this week.
Up on the station.
I went up to the station for Earth Station 1 right here on the ESO network, of course. So the latest episode as this show comes out, it is Earth Station 1 episode 589. And I was up there to talk about the just released DC Comics movie, The Suicide Squad, which I enjoyed. I'll give my quick review for the Flopcast right now and say it's fun. I liked it. This is the second one of these that they've done. They did a Suicide Squad movie like 5 years ago, and this is sort of a sequel to it. It has some of the same cast are in it, but then a whole bunch of new people. Harley Quinn is in it once again, the same Harley Quinn, you know, Margot Robbie, and she's great. Very, very fun, and it's James Gunn wrote and directed it. That's the Guardians of the Galaxy guy, you know, over at Marvel.
Right.
They got him working at DC to do this new Suicide Squad movie. So that sounds great, and it was fun. I enjoyed it, but for you, I would say maybe not for Cornflake, because it's awfully violent and gory. you might want to skip this one and stick with Groot and that raccoon from space over there on the Marvel side.
Rocket, yeah.
But for the DC people, if you can handle some blood and gore and violence, sure. Suicide Squad, the new one, I enjoyed, and we break it all down on Earth Station 1 this week, so check that out. Meanwhile, Cornflake, let's wrap up this Flopcast.
Well, we've got to wrap this up the only way we know how, Kevin, and that is to tell our listeners where they can find us. Facebook, of course, facebook.com/Flopcast. Twitter, our handle is @Flopcast. And Instagram, the_Flopcast. Best of all, we have our very own website, and that is flopcast.net. Over on Apple Podcasts, you could, if you wanted to, leave us a rating and or a review. Helps listeners find our show and have just as much fun with robots as you are now. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation very nearly got to perform on TV with a robot way back in the 80s, but then at the last minute we were fired and replaced by Menudo. Cornflake, thanks for another festive robot edition of the Flopcast. We'll do it again next year, perhaps, assuming we haven't come to our senses by then. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us once again. Please be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and robots.
Have you been searching for that one heavy metal podcast that covers all of your favorite geeky topics as well? Well, look no further. The Metal Geeks Podcast is here to save the day. Whether you are into video games, films, comic books, theme parks, or even, yes, heavy metal, then the Metal Geeks Podcast is a place for you. Check us out on all of your favorite podcasting apps, and we are proud members of the ESO Network. Keep it geeky, and keep it metal.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Dr. Geek here with another reminder that the ESO Network is pro-science and pro-vaccine. We urge you to be a superhero and protect yourself, your family, and your fellow geeks around the world. Don't be fooled by the forces of evil and their anti-science misinformation campaign. Consult the latest CDC guidelines, your doctor, and get the COVID vaccine today.
Okay, Cornflake, it's the secret after show.
The secret part of the show for secret things.
Very, very secret things. I have an exclusive announcement for this episode.
I like the sound of that.
I'll share a secret with the after show listeners this week. Why not? This is just for you. This will be public knowledge in a couple of weeks or so, but this is just for you secret people. And that is that, well, DragonCon is coming up very soon. So we will be doing a DragonCon preview episode in, the next week or two, somewhere in there. We'll be talking DragonCon in depth. But what I'm going to share with you right now is on the subject of badge ribbons, because one thing that we did not do last year was make Flopcast badge ribbons.
Right, because there was nowhere to go.
Yeah, we weren't going anywhere, so I thought, not going to make any ribbons this year. And so we took the year off, but this year DragonCon is back and our badge ribbons are back. I've got ribbons standing by.
They're so great.
Yeah, you've seen them already.
I have.
We can reveal for the secret people right now what the ribbons are. And for one thing, they're orange. They have chickens on them this year.
That's my favorite thing about these ribbons.
Couple of chickens, you know, because it's us. And because it's been so long, this year's Flopcast badge ribbons say, "You're weird and I missed you."
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.